In this segment, I'm going to talk about how I originally got into doing stop smoking clinics. I actually ran my first clinic back in September of 1976. Now, prior to this, I had been lecturing on the dangers of smoking, and it really is all I understood about smoking was its dangers. It was back in the day, I mean, I started doing programs basically in 1971. It was back in the day when a lot of people didn't really seem to know how dangerous smoking was. The material was out there, but it wasn't out there like where the public generally saw it. There was this perception out there that if you showed people what smoking really did, that was a scare tactic, you know, because, man, if you look at the things smoking, you know, could do that we even understood back then, this was scary stuff. But there was this perception that, but if you told people this kind of thing, well, that's using a scare tactic. Well, no, it's not. A scare tactic is when you make up stories about a product that aren't true. And then all someone has to do is do a little bit of research, see the stories aren't true, and then realize anything else that's said by the individual or the organization making the claim, it's an exaggeration or it's just an outright lie. And, you know, so why bother listening to it? But when you show what smoking really does, that's not using a scare tactic. That's education of what the dangers were. Well, I put together a program, and I was going around to school groups at this time, anywhere from, you know, kids who were in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. I was doing junior high schools. I was doing high schools. I was eventually starting to get asked quite a bit to do colleges, universities, and I was doing medical school programs. One day, I was doing a medical school program. A professor had asked me to come out to show it to, basically, I think there were third-year medical students, trying to help them understand what the dangers of smoking were so they more efficiently be able to deal with their patients in the future to help them understand how important it was not to smoke. Well, I did the program, and, you know, it was good. I used all the same material that I used for hundreds of times before that. You know, I showed people what smoking did to them if they took it up and they didn't quit. Well, the professor, after the program, comes said, that was really great. He really liked that. He said, they were asked at the school to send a speaker to a stop smoking clinic, and they, you know, on the dangers of smoking, and they didn't really have anything comprehensive put together, and he saw the slides that I was using and realized this was a good program. He said, will you go do that program? I said, sure. It's the same talk that I did, you know, hundreds of times up to this point. Now, again, I was never really talking to smokers. I was talking to people before they were smoking and preventive measures, but I figured I'd do the same program. I showed them what smoking was, what it was going to do to them if they didn't quit, and somebody was going to come teach them how to quit smoking. Well, there's a complication. I go and do the program, and the first day, seven people show up. It's a small group, and it was in the early days of smoking clinics. Not a lot of people knew about them. Not a lot of people came to them. I do this program, and the seven people, you know, seemed like they really were paying attention, and they were shocked. I mean, the stuff that I was showing was shocking. They had not heard a lot of this stuff before, and again, the material was there. It just wasn't out there for, you know, general consumption. Well, the seven people leave, and I'm packing up my material. I'm about to leave, and the person coordinating the program comes up to me and says, there's a problem. The person who was supposed to run the rest of this clinic, I was only committed to the first day. I was showing them what smoking was going to do to them. Somebody's going to come teach them how to quit smoking now. Well, the person who was supposed to do the program calls up during the clinic and literally says she was sick. She couldn't make this clinic. She wasn't going to be able to do the, you know, the following sessions that were coming up, and you know, she was sorry, but, you know, she wasn't coming. And now the coordinator comes up to me and says, you know, we've got these seven people we just sent home. They're coming back tomorrow. We don't have anyone to run the program. She said, well, you know, will you do the program? Now, here's a dilemma. I just used up everything I knew about smoking. I knew what smoking caused. I didn't know what caused smoking. I didn't know what people had to do to quit smoking. I never really talked to people who quit smoking. It wasn't my area. And so I said, you know, kind of politely, I was saying, no, I'm sorry, but I can't. And she says, well, you got these seven people here. You seem like you got the rapport. You know, someone has to do the program. Please, will you do the program? And again, more forcibly this, I said, no, I'm really sorry, but, you know, I can't do this. And she says, someone's got to do this program. You know, please, will you do this program? She's begging me. And finally, I said, listen, I never smoked a day of my life. I don't know the first thing about quitting smoking. I used up everything I knew at this point. I have nothing more to say. Well, this went in one ear and out the other to her, because what it turned out was, if I didn't do the program, she had to do the program. She never smoked. She didn't know the first thing about smoking or quitting, and now she's almost in tears. And finally, she's begging, and I agree. I said, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. And now I leave that night thinking, what did I just agree to do? I'm going to come back and teach these seven people how to quit smoking. I did not know the first thing about quitting smoking. I was totally clueless. I came back the next day. All seven people came back. Four of them were going cold turkey, and three of them were cutting down. I didn't tell him what to do. Somebody was going to come tell him what to do. It wasn't supposed to be me, but seven people came back. The people were having symptoms. I've had plenty of groups since where this didn't happen. But all seven people were suffering, four going cold, three cutting down. They all sounded miserable. I didn't know what to tell them. So I came up with what I called my first great smoking clinic lie. I thought this was really creative. I didn't know what to say, so I told them, it'll be better tomorrow. Well, I learned in my first clinic, never pull that particular stunt if you're going back the next day, because I had to face these people again, and all seven came back, and they were all miserable. They all still were having problems. And again, I'm going to reiterate, I've had plenty of clinics since then where this isn't the case, where people come in, you know, almost the whole group seems good, but this group, they were all miserable. The next day got a little bit interesting. One of the guys who was going cold said he felt really good today. You know, the prior 2 days, he just felt miserable. He felt like he was going to die, and he says, today he feels really, really good. One of the other guys who was going cold turkey, now he was cutting down. I love this one. In retrospect, when I realized what happened, he had been off for 2 days. He was going cold, and he relapsed that third day. Now, he didn't call it that. What he said now was, now he was cutting down. You know, he'd been off, but now he's cutting down. What he did was he saw, you know, there were some people cutting down and some people going cold, and he had a tough day on the third day, so he took a cigarette, and, you know, now he's cutting down. If he had sat and listened to that group, he should have saw something. It wasn't like the ones who were going cold were just suffering, and the ones who were cutting down, oh, they felt great, everything was going wonderful for them. They were complaining every bit as miserably as everybody else in that group was. There was no difference between the cutting down and the cold turkey people in that group. It wasn't like he should have been thinking like somehow it was going to make it better. The next day cinched it. The three who were going cold turkey from day one, all of these up. They felt like that man who said he was better the second day. They were all better on that next day, the three of them. The four who were cutting down, one of the guy who was going cold then cutting down, now he dropped out. And then the other ones were still there, but they were suffering miserably. On the Monday, it was obvious. The three who went cold were fine. Everybody else was smoking again, that they're pretty much normal levels. It was so obvious to me that time what happened. The ones who went cold made it, the ones who cut down didn't, that it hit me immediately what people needed to do to quit smoking. I started running programs after that. I went back to the center and said, you know, I really kind of enjoyed that. I'd like to do one again. And they were thrilled. It was a volunteer thing. They were looking for anyone who would do it. We scheduled one 2 months later, and we had 15 people show up this time. Now, in my first few programs, I always had people coming in who, when they heard it was cold turkey, thought, you're nuts. I'm not doing cold turkey. That's insane. And for the first few clinics, I'd let them in. I said, sure, come on in, but, you know, understand, as a group, we're going cold turkey. You could do what you wanted to do. I loved having my cutting down people there. They blended in with the group the first few days. But then on the second week, all of a sudden, you would see everybody else is doing fine, moving on, and you got these few people cringing in the corner, you know, like having these horrible symptoms and miserable about it. And I used to think, like, but they will see all the others going cold, how they improve, and then realize, oh man, I should have done what they did. It never works like this. You know what these people think? Oh, of course, those people are able to go cold. They're having an easy time. I'm suffering miserably, which is why I have to cut down. If I go cold, it'll kill me. They just never caught on. And so I really got to a point that I just didn't let them in anymore. I'm wasting their time, and I'm torturing them for nothing. I found it was an advantage, having never smoked going into this. I swear that statement is true. I've seen people run clinics who quit smoking with no trouble whatsoever. They just toss it one day, and it was real easy. And they start running clinics. And they'll have a person in the clinic having a really difficult time, and look at them and think, what's wrong with you? I quit smoking. There's nothing to it. This is in your head. They make these people feel like misfits, like there's something wrong with them because they're having withdrawal, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not what happened to them. On the same token, I've seen people who went through hell when they quit smoking. It was terrible, horrible withdrawal. But they quit, and then they got better. And then they were better than they ever were when they were smokers, and they realized it was the best thing they ever did in their life when they quit smoking. They start running clinics. They'll sometimes get a person in the clinic having an easy time. I mean, very simple. And they'll say, oh, you haven't had this yet? You haven't had that? Oh, this one's going to kill you. And these people walk around now for the rest of their life terrified that any day now this guy's going to cave in on them because of what this instructor said. I'm not saying this is how I quit, so I know it works, you know. I'm not doing it that. It was from listening to people who were quitting smoking in that first group. But not only the first group now. Now we're dealing with thousands of people. Listening to people who were quitting and succeeding. And listening to people who were trying to quit and failing. And trying to figure out what the difference was. Having no preconceived notion going in initially of what the technique was. Every clinic I've done since then, again, I now have pushed it as a cold turkey program. And it holds out all the time. Again, it varies from group to group what it's going to be like the first few days, but once the group gets over those first few days, things really do ease up. And then all these people have to do, it's the same thing everyone who quits anyway, they quit. Once they get the stuff out of their system, all they have to do to never be a smoker again is keeping nicotine out of their system by not putting it in by any source. And as far as smoking goes, it's just understanding simply to know not to take another puff.